Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he'd found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I just want to talk about a move of God and how that God can use anybody, any of us, to promote it, to encourage it, and to believe God for a move of God. The Bible says that Barnabas was a key person in this revival at Antioch. And God used Barnabas, who was not, he wasn't really he was kind of more of a behind the scenes guy. He wasn't the outspoken preacher like Peter or even Paul or even Philip the evangelist and some of these that were kind of out front and had such powerful ministries. Barnabas's ministry was different, but yet it was mightily used of the Lord, and he was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Now, faith is so misunderstood, I believe, a lot of times. I've heard people say, "Well, if I could just have enough faith, if I could just muster enough faith, then such and such could probably take place." Faith is not believing as hard as you can. Faith is a lot more than that. And one thing that faith is action. Faith is taking steps of action. And that's what Barnabas was. He was an action guy. He was a guy that would step forward and would do whatever needed to be done to see the church advance. So he was really a key person in the revival at Antioch to promote it and to encourage it. Actually, all the way up to Acts chapter 10, everything that was happening as a result of the outpouring of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, everything that happened among the Jewish community. It was only among the Jews. But then in Acts chapter 10, something changed. And when Peter had a vision from the Lord, and then six visitors came and took him to the house of Cornelius, and there he preached to the household of Cornelius. God was already working on that end and the heart of Cornelius and stirring his heart. It says he was a devout man, a man who sought the Lord, who gave alms, who prayed unto the Lord. God was already working on that end in Cornelius's life. And then God sends Peter, and it begins the expansion of the church. So it's small. It's only in the Jewish community that the outpouring of Pentecost is taking place and the expansion of the new church. But now, from Acts chapter 10 on, there's like an explosion of growth. And it really was the where the Lord had told them, "Go to Jerusalem and wait there and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. And you'll receive this power. And then you're going to be witness of unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth," or everywhere else in the world. That's what's starting to happen now. And Barnabas is a key player. He is a person. So for some who might think, well, I don't know if God could ever use me. I'm not an outspoken person. I'd rather just kind of be the behind the scenes guy. That's okay. That's okay, because God uses everyone that makes themselves available, who's willing to step out in faith and believe God to do some wonderful and mighty things. And so the church begins to explode as a result of Stephen's message and testimony. Then great persecution falls on the church. A lot of people suffer, and the church scatters everywhere. Let me just remind you, persecution never spells the end of ministry. It never stops ministry. Study the history of the church. Where there is persecution, it does not stop it. It only expands it. It only causes it to grow and to expand. And so many were scattered in all directions as a result of the persecution. Many of them running for their lives as a result of the persecution. But that did not hinder the expansion of the church that caused it to happen. And so the gospel goes as far as Antioch. Antioch is a pagan city. It's an idolatrous city. But God begins to move in the city of Antioch. And the news of this travels all the way back to the church in Jerusalem. They hear the report, something's going on in Antioch. And so we need to do something about this. We want to encourage it. And so they looked over the leaders that were there, and I'm sure they had Peter and James and John and Philip and all these different preachers and all these different ones that were outspoken and very extroverted type leaders. But instead, they chose Barnabas. They said, Barnabas, we want you to go to Antioch. Go to Antioch. And there he was sent to encourage the church and to bless the church and to see what he could do to further the move of God that was going on in Antioch. So the Bible says that he was a good man. This is verse 24. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, full of faith, and much people were added to the church. Much people were added to the Lord as a result of this man's impact, this man's influence. Why? Barnabas. Why Barnabas? If you're picking someone to really promote a revival, someone that would really have faith for a real move of God, why are you going to choose a guy like Barnabas? Well, there's some good reasons. Good reasons why he was the man to be used of the Lord. Let me just mention a few of them. Number one, Barnabas was called because he had a reputation that he cared about people. He cared about people. And he was willing to do whatever he had to do. Remember in Acts chapter 9, when Saul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and all up to that time, Saul was a persecutor of the church, a destroyer of the church. He was feared by the church. But on the road to Damascus, he had a turnaround. He had a transformation. He turned into a man of God, filled with the Spirit. And then from that moment, so transformed that he was ready to move forward and to preach the gospel. Those leaders in Jerusalem were afraid of him. For good reason they were afraid of him, because he had killed many. He had destroyed the church. They were afraid to accept him. But it was this guy named Barnabas that steps in. He steps up and he stands for him. And he says, no, listen, this is what's happened to this man. He's changed. He's not what he was. He's transformed. He was a destroyer of the church, but he's converted. He's not Saul anymore. He is Paul, the apostle. And he's touched of God, and he can be used of the Lord. It was Barnabas that stood up. Now, Paul no doubt, is the most influential man in the New Testament. 13 of the books of the New Testament written by Paul. Traveled on 3 different missionary journeys. Started church after church after church. I don't think that there's any doubt that Paul was the most influential man in the New Testament other than Jesus Christ. But he would have never got to the place of his position of leadership if it hadn't been for someone like Barnabas that would have stepped up and said, wait just a minute, guys. This is Saul. Yes, he's got a reputation for being a bad guy. And they were afraid of him, but Barnabas stood up for him and vouched for him and was willing to take a risk for this man because he cared about people. He cared about people. Then in Acts chapter 4, when the church was growing by leaps and bounds and a lot of people were in need, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 37, that Barnabas, whose surname was Joseph, that he owned a piece of property. He had land and he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, why did he do that? He saw people in need. He cared about them. And so he took his own personal property, sold it, and gave it to the apostles so that they could distribute it to people that were in need. Barnabas was used of God as a man of faith because he was a man of action. I mean, when he saw a need, he stepped up. Faith is just that. Faith is seeing a need and moving and taking steps of action in obedience to the word of the Lord and doing what God had called him to do. Amen. So Barnabas was chosen because he cared about people. Let me just tell you this. If you want to have a ministry, the bottom line is you have to love people. You have to care about people. Amen. Amen. I heard someone say this years ago. I wouldn't mind this pastoring business if it wasn't for the people. That's what it's all about. And you can't have any kind of a ministry if you don't care about people. You can't be a good Sunday school teacher. You can't be a good leader in the church. You can't have any kind of a ministry if you don't care about the needs of people. Amen. Bottom line, you have to care about people. And if you don't care about people, you're not going to be able to get very far in any kind of a ministry for the Lord. Amen. Barnabas cared about the needs of people. Amen. Another reason was that Barnabas was chosen was because he was willing to serve wherever God called him. I mean, I'm sure he'd never been to Antioch. I'm sure he didn't know the people at Antioch. He knew that this was a new ministry, a new path that he had never taken before. But whenever he's called, he's handpicked Barnabas by the church in Jerusalem and the leaders there. Barnabas, go to Antioch. There's no debate. There's no questions about it. Nothing is said about him saying, well, I don't really know those people. I don't know. Maybe someone else would be a better qualified person to do that. Doesn't say that at all. All we know is the next thing we see is he is making his way to Antioch because he has been called to do it. Amen. Whenever God gives you an opportunity to serve, whatever capacity that it might be, then the right answer is, yes, I'm willing. You say, but I've never done that before. I've never had that kind of a ministry before. I don't have any experience in that area before. Step out in faith. You want to see a move of God in your life? Then you find places you can serve. Even if you've never done it before, God will direct your steps. He'll equip you and he'll cause you to have the power to accomplish the thing that he is sending you forth to do. Amen. Praise God. He was full of faith and the Holy Ghost and was willing to step out and to do what needs to do. Amen. May the role of servant be multiplied in the church. Amen. Servants are wonderful, wonderful people. Servants sometimes get completely exhausted and worn out because they are always willing to do a little bit more. Praise God. Thank God for servants that have that kind of a spirit that they don't even know what no means. They just say, okay, I'll try. I'll do my best. I'll try to do it. I'll serve in whatever capacity, whatever way that I have the opportunity to do. Amen. Even if you're brother and sister Bowman and you're 70 years old, you can still take kids to youth camp. Amen. You can serve. You can drive those old vans, even when the air conditioning doesn't work right and the doors don't work right. And you're on a wing and a prayer when you're traveling down the road. But you can serve. Everybody can serve in some capacity. And the reason that Barnabas was used of the Lord so mightily in that revival in Antioch, because he was willing to serve. He was willing to say, okay, I'll go. That's where you want me to go. I'll try it. I'll do it. Never been there before. Don't know how to do it. Don't know what I'll face when I get there. But if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll serve in that capacity. Praise God. Amen. Servants will always have a place in the body of Christ. There will always be a place for servants. Amen. Praise God. Notice here in the text here that when he came to Antioch, he saw that the grace of God was working in that place. He saw the grace of God was upon them. That's in verse 23. He was a good man, full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and much people was added unto the church. Verse 23, rather. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. He saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? Well, you see the effect of the grace of God. You see the impact of the grace of God. He saw that it was a heathen and a pagan city, but he saw people's lives being changed. He saw the transformation. He saw God working in that place. And remember, this is a bunch of new Christians, all baby Christians. If you know anything about new Christians, they've got a lot of questions. They've got a lot of inexperience. They need a lot of support. They're like little children, little babies, little spiritual babies. They have to be nurtured. They have to be taken care of. And he saw the grace of God upon them. He didn't see their weaknesses or their shortcomings or their imperfections. He just saw the grace of God was at work in their lives. And Barnabas was chosen to be in this role because when he got to this new church, this new baby church, he was the kind of personality that was needed because he would see the best in those people. Amen. He would see the best in them. You know, anybody can see the imperfections and the flaws of the church. Anybody can see that. We all can take a look around. We can see that there's no such thing as a perfect church, and this one's not perfect, and we've got our weaknesses and our shortcomings. But what you need is a Barnabas that can look at an imperfect group of people and say, I can see the grace of God working in them. I can see the grace of God in them. And instead of all the weaknesses and all the shortcomings of those new Christians, instead he just saw God at work in their lives. God give us eyes to see the good things, the grace of God at work in the lives of people. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll point our fingers and say, my, they got a long way to go. Or they sure have failed. They sure have messed up. Or they sure have done wrong. And instead, we need to be able to see through all of that and see the grace of God that's working in their life to change them and to transform them. That's why Barnabas was chosen to go to this revival, because he had that kind of faith to see people in their need and look beyond their faults and be able to minister to them and see the grace of God at work in their life. Praise God. Amen. May God give us more Barnabases. Amen. Actually, another reason he was chosen was because Barnabas was an encourager. His actual name was Joseph, but the disciples noticed that he was such an encourager that they gave him a nickname. His nickname is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, son of consolation, son of encouragement, because everywhere he was encouraging Paul, at the beginning of his ministry. He was encouraging the early church. If you remember when Paul and John Mark parted ways and had their disagreements, it was Barnabas that stepped up and put his arm around John Mark and said, you know, you're profitable. You're profitable for this ministry. And he just encouraged him. We've got the book of Mark today because of a Barnabas who put his arms around John Mark and encouraged him and helped him. And later on, the Apostle Paul had a change of heart. And he said, he's now profitable unto me. But it was Barnabas that was the encourager. Amen. And God chose him. The church chose him to minister there in that great revival at Antioch because he was a son of encouragement. Amen. He built up their faith. He encouraged them. He strengthened their faith. You know, everybody needs an encouraging word, don't they? Amen. Amen. Now, it would be easy, again, it would be easy to pinpoint the failures of people and the shortcomings of people. Look for a way to bring a word of encouragement. Look for a way. Be a Barnabas. Amen. You want to be used of God? Be a Barnabas. And find a way to be an encouragement to people. Amen. And speak a word of hope and encouragement to them. That's what he did in this city. And no doubt they needed encouragement. No doubt those new Christians needed encouragement. And here is Barnabas sent of the church to the middle of this revival. And God gave him the faith to see them in their need and to encourage them, even in their weaknesses and their failures. Praise God. Amen. He was the son of consolation. Amen. That the Lord would just send more and more encouragers into the body of Christ. Amen. More and more encouragers into the body of Christ. One more reason I'll mention that he was chosen for this revival in Antioch was because he was willing to take time and invest in people. He invested in people. Notice here in these verses 25 and 26, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. How did that happen? Well, Barnabas, now Saul he's still Saul. He's not Paul yet. But after this encounter, from this time on, he's no longer Saul, he's Paul. So this was not only transforming for these young believers in Antioch, but it was transforming for Saul, who became Paul. He goes and he gets Saul, he brings him to Antioch, and they spend 1 year investing in those young Christians, pouring into them, teaching them the truths of the Word of God, blessing their lives, discipling them, teaching them, training them in the ways of the Lord. Let me tell you, discipleship takes time. It takes time. Amen. But we really fail new Christians when we don't step up and invest in their lives. Amen. We fail them. It's one thing for them to come and give their heart to the Lord. That's wonderful. And we want them to get saved and get born again. But from that moment on, they are our responsibility as the body of Christ. They're our responsibility to invest in them, to pour into them, to give them of our time. An entire year, Barnabas took the lead on this and invested in those people, invested in them, teaching them, discipling them, training them in the ways of the Lord, taught them the things of God. So much so that when people saw them, they said, those disciples in Antioch are like little Christs. They're like little Christs. They were first called Christians in Antioch the first time. That term, which just meant they're just like Jesus. After 1 year of pouring into them and investing in them, let me tell you, it takes more than just a public ministry. It takes faith, like the faith of Barnabas, to step up and to take action to see a move of God. You know, we sometimes think, well, a move of God is just, you know, big glorious service that we might have or big revival that we might have. And certainly we want to see those times happen. But really, a lot of what God does, the real move of God takes place kind of behind the scenes when people's lives are being changed. And as Christians, we're pouring into them. We're mentoring them. We're blessing them. We're discipling them. We're training them in the truths of God's word. Amen. And by the way, not only is it a blessing to young Christians, but it's a blessing to those of us that have served the Lord for a long time to think of someone else besides ourselves. You know that really one of the major problems with depression is self-focus. Now, I'm not a clinical anything to tell you about. I understand that depression is a very real thing. But I do also know that many times depression comes into our lives because we're just so self-focused. And if we'll begin to look outwardly and look at ways that we can bless someone else, how we can pour into someone else, and to be used of God to encourage someone else, you'll come right out of that discouragement and that depression when you are blessing the lives of other people. Amen. Praise God. So there's some amazing, really. Barnabas is one of the most amazing characters in the book of Acts, how mightily God used him. And there's no real evidence he was, you know, the kind of preacher that stood up on the day of Pentecost or went into Samaria like Philip did and preached and transformed the city with revival. There's no evidence of that really in the ministry of Barnabas, but he was just doing all this behind the scenes work. He was loving people. He was encouraging people. He was blessing people. He was investing in the lives of people, and God used his faith. He was full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and much people was added to the church through the ministry of Barnabas. Amen. That's the kind of faith that all of us can demonstrate in our lives. Amen. You may say, I'm not a singer, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a preacher. Oh, but you could be a Barnabas. You could be a Barnabas and really, really have an impact in the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful example from your word, Lord, of a man that was used mightily of you, Lord. Lord, in the church, to further the church, to bring encouragement, to care about people, to invest in the lives of people. Thank you, Lord, for this example that we have. And help us, Lord, as the body of Christ, to take this to heart and realize that every one of us can be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost and be used mightily of the Lord. Even if it is sometimes just behind the scenes, that work can be great and mighty and powerful and can transform the church and certainly promote revival in the church. So, Lord, I just pray that you'll stir the hearts of everybody in this place today, Lord, to see the possibility of how they could be used of you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Can we stand together?